This country stolen, keep on rolling over Snake High. Fast and free together, make them hells and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride. They're disapproving. Keep on moving over Snake High. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride. They're disapproving. Keep on moving over Snake High. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, Snake High.
We do welcome you to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, September 29th. Can you believe September's almost over? Oh, where does the time go? But we'll start out with a prayer to our Heavenly Father. Won't you join me? Dear Jesus, we come to you this beautiful day. A little frost on the ground outside. Sun's coming up. What a beautiful day you give us, Lord. Surely our cup overflows with goodness and mercy. The blessings you give us. Thank you for the opportunity to be here at the Radio Ranch microphone, to be here and to share your word with your people, to be able to have good godly fellowship with like-minded believers, both in person and on the phone. Thank you. Thank you for coming to the cross and redeeming your people Israel, bringing us out of that dominion of darkness into that dominion of light, giving us freedom and liberty. We give you all the praise and glory for that, Lord. We remember that your treasure was in the field. You purchased the whole world to get to that treasure and to have that treasure for your very own. So let the whole world hear, Lord, your words, your ways. Let them repent of serving other gods and turn to you, the one true God, the living God. Lord, we ask for your blessings on this broadcast today. Let it go out strong. Let it be heard on shortwave and on internet. Let the archive be there for those that listen in the future, that they will hear of your mighty works, of your wonderful grace, and that it will bring them closer to you, will give them a desire to bless you with obedience in their life. We give you all the praise and glory for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, time for coffee. We welcome you to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. It's a beautiful day. The sun is just coming up, and wild, woolly, frosty Wyoming. A little frost on the pumpkin, as they say this morning, on the windshield and looking out on the fields. Looks like they've got a little frost this morning. The cottonwoods and the aspen trees have sure turned to yellow. We are just a week or two into fall. I think it's just a full week. But we're into fall full bore here. And we do welcome you on our website, scripturesforamerica.org, on the internet, and then also on shortwave. I believe we're on, 9485 this morning, John?
I believe so.
I don't have it here in front of me. Now, our evening broadcast has changed just a little bit. The frequency has, from 5755, turned down one notch to 5745. So, if you're used to that, then we've changed that evening frequency a little bit. Just got an text here from Brother Brent up in Canada, eh? Good morning, Brother Brent. He says we're coming through fine up there on the internet, so that's good. Canada hasn't locked us out of the Canadian internet yet. How about that?
Not yet.
And right now it's just John and Richard here at the Radio Ranch. And we might be joined by Jason a little bit later. Who knows? Kyle's doing a little bit of traveling. He had some business to take care of, and I think just wanted to take a well-deserved day or two rest. I believe that figured in there. So we'll have Kyle back next week for sure. And we'll have the phone lines open this morning, 307-745-5913. A little bit of current events I thought I'd start out sharing. I shared this with John last day or two. We had my son-in-law, Lance, sent this to me from Yahoo Sports. We'll give credit to them. They put it out, and it says, Texas cheerleaders at a Texas Counts High School, they won an injunction to keep biblical run-through signs despite some complaints. And they've got a picture here. John, you know how it is in high school football. Friday night, the cheerleaders are down at the end, the band's playing, the crowd's all in the stands, and when the football players come on the field, they always have a big paper they run through. I remember that from high school days. You know, it would say Bloodhounds. That's who we were. We were the Bloodhounds. Beat the Red Devils, or, you know, beat the Hornets, or whatever it was. Well, this high school, what this cheerleader group has always done is had scripture signs. The one picture they show is Philippians 4:13. That says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And that's what the cheerleaders take their time, and they go by the paint and the paper and paint it on this, and that's what they have. I guess in another game they had, it said, if God be for us, who can be against us? From Romans.
Yep.
And anyway, it you know, the article talks about that. The one cheerleader says, I'm sorry for people who might be offended, but our boys are happy, and we're just trying to win our games. So that was a good middle-of-the-road answer, I think, from them. But, of course, there was somebody that was opposed to the signs because they constituted a way to force other people into religion. And, you know, it's amazing how these antichrists and these rebellious and lawless people who God has forgotten, and God has forgotten them because their parents have forgotten God. And His Word says, if you forget me and my law and my ways, I'll forget your children. So I'd say that's probably the point here with one of these cheerleaders' teammates, this 14-year-old Gabriel Haga. And is her parents have probably forgot God. And so He's forgot them. And when God forgets you, you are turned over to a depraved mind, and you're turned to just anything and everything is okay, as long as it's not Christianity. And so, anyway, the state district judge, Stephen Thomas, issued a temporary injunction allowing the cheerleaders to continue using religious theme signs, in large part because the cheerleaders allegedly pay for all the materials used to make the signs, eliminating the use of public funds from the process. And so, you know, we'll just have to see what goes on with that.
The last one they put up is, but thanks be to God, which gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 15.
That's the last one they put up?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I got this, let's say, today's the 29th. Yeah, this was yesterday afternoon I got this one. And
yeah.
So that's awesome. That is. I
like
it.
You know,
it says
Freedom
what?
From Religion Foundation going to send their lawyers in there. And
well, good
the problem
them.
Is we got a minority that hates God, and we cave, being the majority. That's the hard part to understand. You know, Dad taught us a long time ago, just say no. Just
right.
Put your tongue on the roof of your mouth and roll it out. It's easy.
Well, you know, I can't help but think this state district judge, Stephen Thomas, he didn't get into the falsehood of the separation of church and state, which, by the way, folks, the separation of church and state cannot be found in the United States Constitution, nor in the Bill of Rights, nor in any of the amendments to the United States Constitution. But do you know where you can find the term, the separation of church and state? It's in the Communist Manifesto. It is in what you would call the Communist Constitution. It's part of communism. It's part of the protocols. It's part of the enemies of God's plan. The Constitution says the state will not establish a state religion, but it also says that it will not prohibit the free exercise thereof. So for you constitutionalists, not that we've turned constitutionalist here, but for you that go and spout that and just repeat the lies that you've heard, regardless of which side of this you're on, the U.S. Constitution does not prohibit and it does not demand the separation of church and state. For the first hundred, up until the early 1900s, mid-1900s, you had to be a professing Christian. And that's under that exact same Constitution to hold office, any office, whether it was a mayor in a town or a governor. But anyway, John, I think we should pray for the state district judge, Stephen Thomas. I think that I just can't help but sense that he did what he could. He did favor did rule in their favor to allow them. How many times do we see, especially up in Rhode Island and Massachusetts and Vermont and places, Connecticut and places like that, where they rule just the opposite? You get some hook-nosed, kinky-haired, antichrist Jew judge that says, oh no, this crosses the line between church and state, and this is the school endorsing the Christian religion, and we can't have that. That's most of the time what we see. So I
yep.
can't help but think that this judge, Stephen Thomas, maybe he listened in to one of Pastor's old broadcasts. Maybe he heard that one where he said that very same thing. Just say no. Because that's about what he did. He said no to the Antichrists. Well, Heavenly Father, we don't know who this judge is. Lord, we try to judge him by their fruits. This seems like a pretty good fruit here, that even a temporary injunction, Lord, for putting your word before the people is a whole lot better than an injunction saying your word can't go before the people. So, Lord, if he's yours, we lift him up to you and ask for your blessings to be upon him. Strengthen him, any of the enemy that would come against him because of this. We pray that you would let them fall in the pit that they dig. Lord, let the enemy's words be just tongue-tied in their mouth. Let them not be able to communicate what they want to. Let them just babble on in their babble. And let their communications be taken from their mouth and from their mind. And Lord, we'd sure like to see more judges in this land standing up and saying, yes, you can continue to put the word of God out. You can put the words Jesus Christ in front of the public. We give you all the praise and glory for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
And Heavenly Father, you know this group, Freedom From Religion Foundation, this damnable group that's straight from the pits of hell.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, we just take this matter and we place it at your feet right now and ask for your righteous judgment to be done. We come against this Freedom From Religion Foundation and we bind it right now in Christ Jesus' name. We do it. not even one, to their atheist, antichrist beliefs. Lord, give them what they want. Give them the freedom from religion in hell. We just come before you humbly and ask that you'd hear us cry out. Lord, this is your country. We're your people. Hear us as we pray 2 Chronicles 7:14. Not only pray it, but live it. When my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Wake up your people all across this country, Lord. Remove the scales from their eyes. Give them eyes to see and ears to hear. Let them see this evil plot that Islam is trying to take over your country, Lord. Wake your people up. And all what we pray, Lord, is thy will be done on earth. Amen. As it is in heaven.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus' name, we thank you for it.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. And along those lines, let's give the phone number out again before we step into another part here of Coffee with the Wranglers. Phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. The UN's meeting, of course, the abomination president we have this past week is meeting with the UN. And it's just amazing, and I say praise the Lord, because when this abomination speaks, his words condemn him.
Amen.
And the Bible says that your words will either, they will either show, I think the Bible says, out of the heart the mouth speaks. And so, you just have to realize that. When you have people that are running around and everything is GD this and GD that. Saw, not really a neighbor, but a man that lives several miles up the road. And talked to him the other day, and that's how it was. It was GD good morning and GD this and GD that. And you look at his life and he is damned. The man is. He is damned with, he has material wealth, but he's damned with health problems and everything else under the sun. Because he speaks it into himself, and it's out of the heart we speak. Well, that's just how it is with the abomination. Here's a quote. The future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam. Now, that's from the sitting American president. He goes on and says, but to be credible, which means, you know, okay, just to take care of you other people, those who condemn that slander must also condemn the hate we see and the images of Jesus Christ that are desecrated, or churches that are destroyed, or the Holocaust that is denied. So he stands with the Muslims, and this is addressing the UN. And the Muslim religion is the fastest growing religion, and it is the predominant religion of those in the UN. So he tells them what they want to hear. And then he goes back and says, oh, but we can't do this other stuff either. Right. Another quote.
Interesting. If you listen closely to the George Bush Sr. speech, you know, from I don't even know how many years ago, but listen closely to what that speech, if you get the chance to. And
was that the New World Order speech?
Yep. But, you know, I always heard New World Order, but there's a lot more in that speech and when you listen.
Oh, there is.
Closely about the UN, and let there be no doubt that we will accomplish our goals, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well.
So this has been set many, many years ago.
It has. It's just amazing, and what I said earlier about it proving the Bible true, because it was prophesied
exactly
that my people will be destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And I think it's in Isaiah. He says, I will have a people with eyes that cannot see and ears that cannot hear. Well, eyes that can't see and ears that can't hear. Listen to this anyway. Maybe it'll get through. Some of this truth will get through. And you will no longer want to walk in your lies and believe the lies. In Obama's published memoirs entitled Dreams from My Father, he says in there that if the political winds were to shift against Islam, that he would stand with the Muslims. And so, it's one of their MOs, it's one of their requirements of war, if you would. It's one of their rules of war that they have to play by, the enemies of Christ. They have to tell you what they're doing. There's nothing new under the sun. There's no sneak attack. It's not that, oh, well, we didn't know that. Yeah, you did. He had that published years and years ago. And it's just what they have to do. They have to tell you, and that's exactly what he does. The political winds, if they shift against Islam, he's going to stand with Islam. He's going to stand with the Muslims.
Already is.
He already has. He has been... Oh, I saw an article this week. I don't have it here in front of me, but you can check it on the internet if you want. But he has been the most... How do you word this? The most anti-Christ president ever. He has enacted, you know, he doesn't have any of the prayer days anymore, the Christian prayer days or anything like that. And while he does everything he can against Christianity, he embraces the Islam religion, the mullahs and the Abdullahs and everybody else into the White House. And, you know, it's funny, but even a lot of the Jews have come against him.
It's kind of ironic.
It is. But when they start coming against you, you look at what happened to JFK, because that's what he did. You know, he said, wait a minute, we're not going to have all this usury in the bank. We'll issue silver certificates, and we'll let the money be backed by silver. And you see where that got him as he visited Dallas. And no... Secret Service or whoever's listening in, I'm not threatening the president. I'm just saying look at history and look at facts. Because they listen in. Oh yeah, they listen in. They have their computer programs and they have their, again, they tell you that they do that. You can watch the TV, not that we do, you can watch the cartoons, even the Simpsons cartoon shows you and tells you what they do because they have to tell you, Remnant. What they're going to do. So they listen in. So I say to you listening in, repent if you can. Be baptized if you can. If you're only a twofold more son of hell, repent while you can. Repent while you can. Because, let me flip over here to Revelation, see if I can find it real quick. There's a day coming.
Yeah, it's almost blasphemy for abomination to even use the name Jesus Christ.
Well, when he uses it, you know it's in a curse.
Yeah.
It is.
But it's good because he's cursing himself too.
He does. Well, again, it's by his own words. It's by the words that come out of his mouth. You either, he condemns himself. He does. Here it is in Revelation 22. So I say to you listening in, you men's men, you know, you that work for the man, if you remember Pastor's old sermons on that, And he would put this out sometimes, that you repent while you can, if you can. Revelation 22:10, and he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the one who does wrong still do wrong, and the one who is filthy still be filthy. And I say that to you out there who do wrong, and to you out there who are filthy, who are still in your filthy rags, who have not been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. The time is near, it says, for those who do wrong to continue doing wrong. You will not be able to change from doing wrong. And the time is coming that you who are filthy will not be able to be cleansed, but you will remain filthy.
And yeah,
that's
scripture.
How you'll spend eternity. Go ahead, John.
A scripture I've been sharing with people that I know, that all you hear really is that, where did time go, you know? Holy cow, it's the end of September already. This year seems like it's just flying by.
Yeah, you heard that from me 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
As well.
But it's true. But
it is.
If you look at Matthew 24, 21:22, we've read it before, but for then there will be a great tribulation, such as not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will. Unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty powerful words.
And here we are with time. It seems like time running out. That's what it seems like, isn't it? Time is running out. Praise the Lord. Again, it proves.
Time's running out for those to turn and repent, that's for sure.
It is. It is. Wow, praise the Lord.
Do you notice they, Joel Osteen, they interviewed him the other day and they asked him why he won't take a stand on homosexuality and presidency and all this other stuff. And he just gave him the lukewarm answer, the paid whore answer, you know. I believe in the positive things. I just want to encourage people, you know.
Right. Encourage him to hell. That's what he does.
That's exactly right.
That's exactly what he does.
You may love your preacher now, but you're going to hate him on Judgment Day.
Yeah, you got that right.
That one rings through my ears, too. I told that to a group of Lutheran men I met back in back east here a couple weeks ago. I don't think they liked it, but that's all right. Not here to win friends and influence people.
Right.
Actually, we are here to influence people.
I think here is what people like Joel Osteen that don't want to judge. Oh, I'm just, you know, I'm not a radical. I don't want to offend people. And that's just what they are. They're lukewarm. Well, listen to what, again, the book of Revelation says about the lukewarm.
Oh, yeah.
And this is Revelation 3:16. We'll start with 15. Actually, we'll start with 14, because this is the message to the church at Laodicea. And it says, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write. And that angel can mean messenger. And so this is what goes to the church. The Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this. That means God Almighty, the great I Am, says this to you. I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. Now, does that not remind you of the Rick Warrens, of the Joel Osteens? Because they have done that very thing. They have become rich. They live in mansions. They fly around in jet planes and Rolls Royces. And they have more. They have money to burn. They have money to burn. And their money will burn. It will burn. It goes on and says, because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And that is how God sees those that are lukewarm. Those that trust in their riches, trust in their material wealth, trust in those fancy mansions. Because they're blessed, brother. Because God blesses you and wants you to be blessed like He's blessed them. That, yeah, you get that.
Just send your money.
He says, I know your deeds, you're neither cold nor hot. And back where I was reading in Revelation 22 about those that are wrong still do wrong, those who are filthy still are filthy. In verse 12 it says, I am coming quickly and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done. That's the deeds. And those that are neither hot nor cold, that don't want to judge, that say, oh, we just don't want to offend. Well, he will spit you out of his mouth. He will cast you into the outer darkness for that kind of an attitude and that kind of a lifestyle. So says the Word of God. I like what you said, John. You can love that lukewarm pastor now, and he can make you feel so good, and just, warms your heart, and he just lets you feel the love of God. Oh, yes, brother. But what God Almighty says, the great I Am, the beginning of the creation of God, says if you ain't hot or cold for him, He will puke you out of his mouth. He will cast you away. And you may love, like John said, your lovey-dovey, sloppy agape, love everybody, doesn't judge, God welcomes everybody with open arms, preacher today. But you ain't going to care for him when that day arrives. Not at all.
Yeah, I read somewhere he has typically 40 to 44,000 people come to his church every week.
Well, he's got the Houston, isn't it the Astrodome? Not the Astrodome.
Yeah,
but the
where the Rockets used to play stadium. Yeah,
yeah. the old indoor stadium.
Yeah. So.
I saw a video. Somebody sent me a YouTube of one time when he was kind of. Oh, he was doing a bunch of. They said, "Oh, Joel Osteen's taking the pastor's I ams," and he, because those are very positive things, and he was doing that. He was talking about, you know, I am saved, I am righteous, I am blessed of God, and everybody, of course, is repeating it. And it was like and it comes from like the Far Eastern mantras where they have chants, like Buddha chants and things like that, and that's what it comes from. But there's no Jesus Christ there. And he's walking around with that fake smile. And there had to be 30,000, 40,000 people there. It was like a rock concert. The people all just packed in there. You know, we've said it before, they have to have more people on their parking staff than we have on our whole staff. You know?
Yeah, it's true.
But that's okay. That's okay there.
That's Babylon.
Their gold and silver will rust in the street, and that rust will condemn them, and it will speak against them. So says the word. I like that, John, that you read in Matthew. I highlighted that. Unless those days have been cut short. Praise the Lord. Go ahead, John. Well, let me get the phone number out. 307-745-5913. If anybody wants to join us this morning, go right ahead, John.
Yeah, I was reading an article the other day. They're trying to merge Christians and Islam, called Chrislam. And boy, if that's not an abomination. But it says Christianity and Islam are the world's two largest religions, 2.18 billion Christians and 1.6 billion Muslims in the world. And so now they're trying to merge the two religions, saying that there's not that much difference between them, other than they don't believe in that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, or that he died on the cross to
right.
forgive
and you'll,
our sins.
And you'll see, John, when they go to do that, that Islam won't change. It'll still be Prophet Muhammad was the great prophet, blah, 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 blah. It reminds me of Judeo-Christianity. There is a Judeo-Christian ethic, but it's a double-minded ethic. Judaism denies Christ. Christianity is based on Christ. How can they come together? And
right.
So the Judeo-Christian ethic is an ethic of doublethink. It's an ethic of double-mindedness. It's an ethic of you can't do anything. Hey, let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. This is Elliot in South Jersey. And I'm listening as we speak. And I'm wondering, do you think Alex Jones is right when he claims that the water is poisoned, the food is poisoned, that we're all in a coma and we're just willing to accept all this nonsense instead of really looking at the church in the correct light?
Well, if you listen
to... Taking a hard stance like Pastor Pete did?
Yeah, if you listen to what we said earlier, the enemy always tells you either what they have done, what they're going to do, or what they're doing. And I think you hit it right on the head. Yeah, absolutely, the water's poisoned. All the municipalities that put fluoride in the water, absolutely it's poisoned. The air, the chemtrails, sure it is. Because we are in Babylon. And, you know, you do with your slaves as you wish to do with them. And, you know, we run cattle out here on the radio ranch. And if we want to bring them in and put a brand on them, that's what we do because they're ours. If we want to keep the heifers or the steers or if we want to sell them, or if you want to fatten them up and butcher them, you do whatever you want to with them. And that's exactly how the enemies of Christ look at us. They call us goyim, dumb cattle, and that's how they look at us. And so, yeah, all those doom and gloom things that are put out by the Joneses and the Savages and all that, it is. It's, you know, you have to have your propaganda. And the pastor always talked about that. The doom and gloom is out there. But as John said earlier, 2 Chronicles 7:14 is the only answer. There's no answer in Washington, D.C. There's no answer in the state capitals. There's no answer in man's laws or government. The only answer, the only fix, is 2 Chronicles 7:14. That's the that's the way I see it.
Yeah, well, I'm sure. I'm approaching 70 in a couple of months, and it's tough to start waking up just from the fact of listening to Pastor Pete's sermons. And I mean, I guess they're all rerun. I believe he died a couple of months after I started to listen. And I didn't listen to the locals. I mean, I think all the churches I went to over my life, it seemed to me it was always like you had to kiss the feet of the Jews. And I grew up in Philadelphia in the middle of the Jews, and I went to school with them, I played with them and all that, and I'm not saying that they were bad people or anything like that, but even as kids, they were talking about their money. So when I started listening to Pastor Pete and started to get a new perspective on it, I think maybe my suspicions that I didn't really know or understand were correct.
You knew something was wrong the whole time.
there wasn't anybody was going to agree with me.
Yep. Well, it's because it's written on your heart.
Right.
You finally got the scales removed and your eyes were open and your ears were unstopped. And that's when you heard the truth.
Well, it's the first time I ever heard anybody that agreed with what my gut feelings were. And I had no way of proving it or anything. It was just a feeling. So, anyway. I just wanted to extend that you guys got. I listen every chance I can, probably through the night. If I wake up in the middle of the night, I got a pillow speaker, and you're on.
Well, praise the Lord.
Praise God. Thank you. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Anyway, just keep up the good work, guys. I love it.
Thank you.
Take care, sir.
And tell all the boys, God bless everybody. They are doing a great job.
Thanks a lot, sir. You have a great week.
Appreciate it.
All right. That's a good to hear from new caller.
No, yep.
I think I've corresponded with him on in mail just a little bit. That sounded familiar. That just started listening in, and that's one thing to remember, Remnant out there. If you've been listening a good bit, if you've been on this ministry for a while, again, we learned it from the pastor. There are always new people coming to the truth. Like that man said, almost 70 years old, he's been listening and really just came into this truth that found a home in him. Within the last couple of years. And he's almost 70 years old. And so, the truth is finding the remnant, and the remnant are finding the truth all throughout the land every day. And that's one of the important reasons that we broadcast out 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on shortwave station WTWW, and also on the internet. And folks, just as a reminder, you know, the pastor never begged for money, and we're not going to either. The pastor trusted in the Lord that if he continued to put the gospel of Jesus Christ out, that the people, the remnant, would continue to support it. And we hold the same thing now. But I hope you heard in with that caller and realize how important it is that we do just what we're doing. We continue to get the gospel out 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, so that that remnant out there whose eyes are blinded and whose ears are plugged up, because most of the time all they've seen is lies and all they've heard are lies. But when they hear that truth, when they see it, when they hear it, it starts those scales to fall off. And it starts to unplug those ears. And And it is a most important thing to continue to get that gospel message out. And just realize that we do need your continued support to do that. We don't drive new pickup trucks out here. We don't live in mansions. We don't fly around in Lear jets. We work for a living. We work this ministry. We work for Jesus Christ. We are about the Father's business. We've all got calluses on our hands. And we don't have a staff here that researches and puts these programs together for us. We get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and come over here mountain time and fire up the broadcast. And I printed out notes yesterday, and I know John was researching. We were talking yesterday on some things to present to you, the remnant, today. And so, just so you know that. But we do need your continued support if you want to be part of spreading the gospel to the world. And by supporting us, you can be part of that. John, let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. You're on Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard and Jonathan. How are you?
Doing well. How are you today?
Good. Good morning.
Good. This is Becky from Minnesota.
Hi, Becky.
Hi. I was just listening. I wanted to call in because I heard you say that one preacher, I can't remember his name, had that confessional like the pastor did. And I recently got the pastor's sermon on Confess What You Are in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And what came to my mind was before he was talking about confessing, he said, I want to warn you that anyone who is not born again by the blood of Christ should be saying these things. So it kind of brought to my mind that. I'm thinking, well, you know, it looks like it's an enemy of Christ, you know, trying to bring curses upon the people that don't know, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
True.
But I just wanted to bring that about. And then also this Muslim thing. Now, I'm not too clear on the Muslims. Are they, from the biblical aspect, I know the pastor said before that the descendants of Hagar, they fit, you know, Ishmael, it fits the... Years ago I heard this, it fits the Muslims over in Iran and Iraq, etc. Would that be the Muslims that they're talking about now too, or?
Well, I think that it's just like the term Jew. You have Sammy Davis Jr., the black dancer, claimed to be Jewish because he followed the religion of Judaism. And so it's just like it was in the Old Testament. You had people that were from Judah that in the New Testament at times were called Jews. There are neither Greek nor Jews. And so you had people that, with that term, that were from Judah that were just called Jews. You have people today that, because they follow the Antichrist religion of Judaism, which denies that Christ is the Son of God, then they are Jews. And they have been born and they are from all over the world. I think it's the same way with Islam. You have the people that are the Muslims, but that is those that follow the religion of Islam, the Prophet Muhammad, and so I think it is, as you said, that is where they come from originally, as far as the race of people. They basically, it's basically the religion of Islam, the Muslim people that follow the religion of Islam. Are like the Japanese people that follow the religion of Shintoism or whatever it is. You know, the Muslim people, I do believe that that's where they come from way back there. But this religion of Islam is just that. It is a violent religion. It's an antichrist religion. It does not recognize Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And they have a dream of world conquest. Kill the infidel. You don't see that on our news, but you see.
Yeah, we say repent or perish.
Right.
You know, they just say if you don't accept Muhammad, then you're the infidel and we must kill you.
Right.
So. Right. But I bring that about because I was reading this morning in the Bible, and it just kind of clicked with me when you're talking about this. And it talks about in Galatians 4, you know, allegorically speaking about the descendants of Hagar and the descendants of the free woman. And it says in verse 29, But as at that time, he who was born according to the flesh, meaning the descendants of Hagar, from what I get out of it, persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so as it is now. So when you were talking about this, that came to mind, and I got so excited because I'm like, we should be, you know, in a way we should be rejoicing because the Bible is being fulfilled, you know?
Absolutely. And what's the next verse say? But what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be an heir with the son of the free woman.
True.
So then, brethren, we are not children of a bondwoman, but of a free woman. And so, see, it says they are not heirs of the promise. Now, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives and treat them because they are a fellow heir of the promise. But it makes a distinction here that those born of the flesh of the bondwoman are not an heir of Jesus Christ. Now, they're part of the field that he came and purchased because his treasure was in the field. And I think then it leaves that up to if they choose to follow Jesus Christ, just like if a Japanese person chooses to follow Jesus Christ, or the Koreans, or the Chinese, and there are many in those countries that are persecuted for Christ, that have turned away from the heathen religions and have followed Christianity and followed the tenets of Jesus Christ, and many of them are persecuted for that, then they can do that, and they can have the blessings like the Canaanite woman had, and the blessings of the other peoples. But that's not who Jesus Christ came to redeem, because those are not the people that were sold for nothing.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. But
it is, Becky, it is. You bring out a very good point that's exactly, I think, what that's talking about there. Because that whole, from verse 21 all the way to 31, that's what it's talking about. And that's who, when Paul was writing, what was it he says, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? He was making the distinction there. Good point.
That is a good point. Thank you for clearing that up for me. I just wanted to get that clear on there because I was reading this morning and then you were talking, I'm like, whoa, you know?
Yeah.
It never ceases to amaze me when I read and then it clicks, you know, in today's times, you know.
That's the Holy Spirit working.
Amen.
It is, and it's so awesome.
It is. Yeah, I just,
all right, well, I just wanted to call in and share that with you, and I will let you get back to the program.
Thanks, Becky.
Thank you for your time and for clearing that up for me. Have a good weekend.
You too. God bless.
You too.
Thank you, too. Bye.
Good.
Yeah, I was talking to a friend of mine and his wife that we baptized this summer, and he was just like, wow, you were right. You know, this really does change everything, because he's hungry for the Word, and he can see the truths that are hidden within the Bible, and now he's preaching, you know, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. So, praise God.
Amen. Amen. It isn't it amazing how Acts 2:38 is really true? I mean, isn't it? Turn there. We haven't read Acts 2:38 in at least a day or two. Let's turn there.
Yeah.
Now, in Acts, we'll start with 2:36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, the crowds, they were pierced to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And so these people realized that what they thought before was wrong, and what they did before was wrong. And they realized that they had been stirred up, and that they had been led to do something that was wrong. They had sinned. That they had killed the Son of God. And that's a pretty big sin, wouldn't you think, John? They crucified him. They put him on the cross. And you know what, brother? You and I did that. That's what this means. You and I did that in our sin. We crucified Christ. But he says, Peter said to them, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit does that. You can have read the Bible all your life, but until you're baptized, you do not receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which leads and guides and opens truths of the Bible up. That's what the Holy Spirit is there for, to lead and guide us in all wisdom and knowledge. Well, John, let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, good morning. Joe and PA here.
Hi, Joe.
Yeah, I've been listening in here. The lady that called just before was in question regarding the sons of the Hagar. It says here in Psalm 83, King James, that the Hagarenes were coming up against, you know, the Israelites there, make them as dung for the ground and so forth. It goes on to say, well, I looked it up in the Strong, and it's 1905, and it's Hagri, member of certain Arabian clan. So, seems to me that the, you know, one and one is two. The sons of Hagar, or the Ishmaelites, are the enemies of God.
They were. They were then, and they are today. Because
they might be, they might be diminished blood kin from going from way back, but they're certainly not neighbors.
Right.
Yeah. So okay, we'll let you get on then. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Thanks, Joe.
That reminds me of a story Dad told, and he used to say, "Old brother, word," you know, Archie Word.
Yes.
Taught him a lot. But he said one of the things he admired about him most was that the big boys, the big networks, and all that, they could see in him what they saw in TV evangelists, and said, we can make you bigger than Billy Sunday, but there's two things you can't preach on. One is baptism for the remission of sins, and the other is tithing.
Yes.
Because they know that if our people follow God's law and God's teaching, that we will be blessed.
Amen.
And they couldn't have that. So they'll give you 70-80% of the truth, but they'll keep you from the most important part of it. And Archie Word wouldn't whore himself, and praise God we had a pastor that wouldn't whore himself either.
Amen. And that brother Word ended his
days.
And
we aren't either.
That's right. And that, according to the pastor, that brother Word ended his days working. Now, he was one who preached the word his whole life, and he ended his days working, teaching in seminary. He didn't retire.
Could have been a multimillionaire, just
been.
Like all these other whores, but
that's
chose
right.
to serve Jesus Christ.
That's right. And you know, right now, John, we're winding out of time, but I certainly want to invite everybody to church. Right now, we are rebroadcasting a series of sermons the pastor did entitled The Law. And last Sunday was a very eye-opening broadcast for me. I know I came on board this ministry about the time the pastor was preaching those. They were in 1991 when he was preaching this series originally. And we unashamedly are rebroadcasting it now because the truths that are in there, they apply today. Part 3 of the law is what we did last Sunday, and I'm assuming tomorrow we'll probably have part 4. And talking with Jason, I think we're going to try to run this series completely out. I think it's a 6-part series, if I remember.
Yeah,
right.
6 parts. I listened to it
and
tape.
And so that part 3, the pastor, and I know I've heard him at least 2 or 3 times, but he did such a good job in explaining what law was done away with. Yeah, there was a law done away with at the cross, but not the whole law. And he did in part 3 of the law such an excellent job of letting the Bible show that it was that law that was added 430 years later. That's what was done away with. And so I encourage you, come to church with us tomorrow. Join us at the LaPorte Church of Christ in LaPorte, Colorado. No, you don't have to get a red-eye flight out of St. Louis tonight to make it there. You can just go to our website.
But you can if you want.
You can if you want. Yeah, we ask it. If you're going to come visit us in person, let us know. Just so, because it's just nice to know when people walk in, we don't always recognize everybody. But if you're going to come in person, let us know. But we do welcome you there. But you don't have to take that red eye flight. and cost a lot of money. You can just go to the internet, scripturesforamerica.org. And right there on the home page, you can click on the live video streaming. Now, that doesn't start till 10 o'clock Mountain Time tomorrow morning. That's 11 o'clock Central and noon on the East Coast. So if you're over on the East Coast, you can sleep in and do whatever you have to do tomorrow morning. And at noon, still join us for church. We'll have a scriptural insight and study, a Sunday school type message for about half an hour. John will be there to give a welcome and a couple of scripture verses out. We'll have some good music with Shananiah. We'll have a communion message. And then hopefully the law part four. And it is just so important for the Judeo-Christian, and I've got to get away from that term, from the true Christian world to have an understanding that the Bible says there was a law nailed to the cross, but it wasn't all of the law. It was the sacrificial law. And it wasn't the law that you put a rapist to death. That law is still there. And that you don't let a witch live. That law is still there. And that you love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. That law is still there. Well, I see the phone lines are still ringing, but John, we are out of time. If you want to...
I went fast.
Yeah. Would you... I know the remnant sure enjoy it, John. Would you put that priestly blessing out to the remnant for those that are his as we wrap this day up?
Sure.
Broadcast.
Heavenly Father, we come before you humbly, Lord. We just ask that you bless those that are yours.
Yes.
Bless them and keep them. Make your face shine upon them and be gracious to them. Lift up your countenance to them and grant them peace. In Christ Jesus' name we pray it. And we thank you for it. Amen.
Amen. Hey, join us at church tomorrow. We hope to see you there. You can see us there. God bless those that are his.
Rolling, rolling, rolling. Rolling, rolling, rolling. Rolling, rolling, rolling. Rolling, rolling, rolling. Stay calm.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, rolling, rolling. Though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, get them off, move them out, get them off, snake high.
Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake hide.
Stay calm.